I'm sat in the Open University, and I'm sat next to Stuart Brown. Twitter name?
Stuart Brown.
Easy to remember.
In there early.
Now, when I'm talking about using Twitter in organisations, using Twitter at work, I tend to use the Open University as an example. I guess it's because this is where I first saw multiple screens being used effectively. And it was you, I believe, who I first saw kind of scanning a number of screens. And today you have three screens set up in front of you. What's your job? What's your role here at the Open University? And what are these screens doing for you today?
My job title is something crazy, e-business manager, communities and web developments. So my job pans out into sort of three or four separate areas. One is working on the way that OU publishes to the web in a non-teaching and learning environment, so research projects, faculties, social sites, that sort of stuff. We use Drupal as our web CMS and open source solution, which we love. Second is looking after a lot of the OU social media engagement.
That was a big pile of cakes. There's always cakes here.
I brought a croissant
earlier on in the canteen when I didn't realise there'd be a mountain of hot cross buns. Sorry, carry on. You got to Drupal open source.
Yeah, no, finished that bit. And then social web, so looking after our Facebook pages, Facebook apps, and Twitter accounts, and some other ones that we use, Flickr a bit, and a couple of others, Google Plus, that hasn't seen a bit of action for a little while.
So how do you manage tweeting multiple people, tweeting various information into the Open University's official Twitter account, for example? I mean, how many Twitter accounts does the OU have?
We have two official Twitter accounts, Open University and OU Community. Probably the same in loads of organisations. Over the last 2 years, I guess, more and more people have come to us and said, oh, we really want to do Twitter, or we all get into Facebook. And what's happened is that they've created an account, Open University, something or other. It's been cool for a few months, or then the person who set it up has gone off and done something else, and then it's died, and the followers are still there, and it's just a graveyard of OU stuff. So we tried to move away from that. Obviously, we don't want to give everyone the username and password of our Twitter account, so we use services to help us do it. In the past, we used CoTweet when it was nice and free. Then they got bought by somebody and wanted to charge us £18,000 a year for it. Maybe $18,000. Can't remember. Anyhow.
It's a lot of money.
Still a lot of money. So now we use something called Sprout Social, which still costs money, but nowhere near as much, and is great. So
Sprout Social, and they're on sproutsocial.com. How much does it cost a year for your package?
I gave you a figure of $5,000. I think that probably might be a bit higher. I can't remember. I think it's probably about 2.5, but we got a 50% educational discount. In fact, education organisations get it, and non-profit. So you get a good discount.
They do have cheaper and freer packages as well.
They do. We're on the premium version.
What do you get for that?
We get a whole load of reporting stuff, and we get to customise some of our stuff, pull in RSS feeds and spit it out to our Twitter channels, although we don't actually do that because I don't think that's particularly good way to use Twitter. And then you get to add a number of accounts, so you typically have to pay an extra, I think it's something like $250 for additional user accounts. But it's quite good. We plug in all our accounts, we use our Twitter account and Facebook accounts, and it gives us some reasonable stats.
So there's a lot of analytics. What kind of stuff?
Well, some of it is, the typical stuff. Here we're showing we're down because last month we had quite a lot of activity and a big push. But it shows you engagement on individual tweets. It's pulling in here our latest tweets, and it shows it because we can hook in our Bitly account with our account here.
So it's showing you exactly how many times a particular link has been clicked. 62 times for one link for somebody.
This is for students booking their academic dress for their degree ceremonies.
And that particular academic dress link has 62 clicks. Yeah. You could definitely start monetizing the Mac of the
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? I can't remember who the company is, actually, but they're doing all right out of us. And then it gives you a reach figure, which in this case is...
Is that just kind of plug into the back of TweetReach?
I don't think it does that. Well, I think it's just done through the Twitter API. Yeah. So this, in this case, it's just showing us it's exactly the same number of followers as we have because it's not been retweeted. But this, for example, so just so you know, you're not seeing it, but it's showing you number of clicks, number of responses, and then reach.
And reaches,
so
larger.
Reaches,
that's really
so
interesting.
It's how if someone's retweeted it and they've got 20,000, then you know that increases.
So I can see. So you have your MacBook in the middle with Sprout Social being what appears to be kind of almost a main hub because that's where you are writing content from and sending it out, and there are options there that you're not necessarily using this pulling in the RSS and then sharing. You are using scheduled tweets, and on the right hand side screen you have you're the back end of a Drupal site.
This is Drupal 7. We're just playing around with some stuff. We're using an awesome module written by somebody called Lynn Clark called Sparkle View. So another part of the project, another part of the work that I do is work on OU's linked data store, which is data.open.ac.uk.
So the Open University already has linked open data available and data sets there for people to plug into.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the frustrations that we've had, that I've had at the OU, and I know a load of other people have had as well, is that we've got really interesting data which sits in databases around the university. It doesn't talk. They can't talk. These databases can't talk to each other, even though they have information about the same kind of things, and these things are intrinsically linked. So one of the things that this it was a project called Lucero has enabled us to do is sort of turn those databases inside out and make them queryable on the web. By marking them up as RDF, which is Resource Description Framework, and then making all the data open Creative Commons so that anyone can reuse it.
Well, are you participating in the up-and-coming Milton Keynes hack?
No, I'm not, but I have seen it mentioned on Twitter, and I keep thinking I should.
You should pop down. I think Robin Bateman will be going down. So, and on the left-hand screen here, you have... TweetDeck with numerous...
New TweetDeck, despite Matt and other people saying that I should just go back to the old TweetDeck. I don't hate it as much as everybody else hates it.
What's the difference?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he just seems to be completely offended by it. And apart from it being blue, I'm not really sure what the difference is.
Looks like it still works as such. I was waiting for Twitter to just pull the plug, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I know. But
we'll see what happens. So you've basically got responses... Open University.
Yeah, so that's my stuff, and then I've got three columns pulling in Open University stuff.
It's unlikely you're going to miss anything,
unless it's a weekend, and even then, probably I don't miss a lot. So what I'm looking for is we chatted with our students quite a while ago and asked them about how we would like the Open University to engage with them. They were quite clear in that they don't want us. You know, being their friends and getting involved in their conversations about non-Open University stuff.
Yeah.
But they were quite happy for us to get involved in conversations with them where they were discussing their studies, which is, you know, sensible.
Interestingly, I mean, I checked in earlier on and I don't remember saying Open University, but because I checked into the Open University on Foursquare, one of your filter columns has picked that check-in up, which is quite... a handy ability to stalk anybody in the world saying open and university in the same tweet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but that's just a standard
search column
that's bringing that in.
How important is filtering for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much noise out there that pulling in, especially when your name is Open University, if you don't get your search right, you just get all sorts of nonsense. Mm. And that also comes down to the sort of mini discussion we had off air about our hashtag structure. OU underscore something to try and make it a little bit more unique so we can pull it in via RSS and, you know, make use of it in different ways. So some of the things that I'm looking for are, you know, if there's a lot of stuff going on. So universities put up their fees recently, so keeping an eye on that sort of stuff and sentiment around that. But also we use OU Community as a way of our students giving feedback to either other students or potential students. So a lot of what you see coming through on these columns is somebody saying, has anybody studied with the Open University? What's it like? Mm. Or has anybody studied this course? What's it like? And I'll just retweet that to our followers, and we trust that, you know, they'll get in contact with them and they'll tell them either, yeah, it's great, or no, it's terrible, but 90% of the time it's great.
Now, these are official channels, the two Twitter accounts we've talked about, where you can't necessarily very easily, in fact, you said you didn't want to, build a personal connection between that Twitter account and other people. Yet, people are allowed and in many ways encouraged to tweet whilst at work, especially if the OU platform, for example, is the URL connected to their Twitter account. There isn't branding splattered all over people's Twitter accounts. They're just encouraged to tweet. Is it just another work tool?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the amount that I learn from Twitter and the amount that I've been able to put into my job, whether it's directly related to social media or web publishing or any of the other things, is worth, you know...
It's like you're constantly on a course.
It's like I'm constantly on a course. I mean, quite often I'll follow people, you know, who are sort of world experts in their field, and they might have slightly opposing views, but you can follow that conversation happening. And, you know, either I'd have to pay to go to a university to get that kind of exposure, or I'd have to go on a course and pay whatever. Mm. But I can do it for free here, and I can, even better, I can participate if I want to, or if they allow me to, anyway. Mm. So, you know, it's...
So do you find yourself... in the early days, I remember the OU kind of leaking press releases through open conversations across the office floor using Twitter, and it's quite clever how I saw that happening, purposely leaking, obviously, because it was easier than sending a fax. Do you find yourself chipping in with your personal account to do OU business because it's more personal?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, I don't do a lot of that, but an example recently, the Open University recently won University Face-Off. So every year, I think it's an agency, runs this competition on Facebook for the most popular university, and this year the Open University won. And these guys, Computer Uni Guide, sort of jumped on the back of the sort of publicity around it and said, oh, come and have a look at how we represent different universities in terms of research excellence, student satisfaction, etc. But because of, and also entry criteria. So they did a league table, and it happens, you know, it happens in different places as well, but it's not necessarily accurate to judge the Open University against other universities because we don't have an entry criteria. So saying that one is better than the other because they require 3 A's at A level, you know. So I get involved with conversations like that with them about, well, you're not really comparing apples with apples here. So from that point of view, I get involved in a work discussion.
And that's quite interesting because it obviously shows how passionate you are about where you work when you're kind of backing their corner in an online discussion.
Yeah.
We could go on. We have gone on about the innovative uses. It's really interesting. I see you've got your Google Apps all over the other screen now. How many different platforms, to finish on, do you think that you use between these three screens?
Oh man, loads. My newest thing is, so you see people with iPads all over the shop. In meetings, you know, presumably they're taking notes or something. It's always bugged me that I can't get my, I don't use Apple Mail. So it bugs me that I can't get my notes off of the iPad and onto something else. So now I've got my Dropbox and SugarSync, and I've got an app on the iPad. I can't remember what it is, but basically it's a word processor that allows me to edit my Dropbox documents online and sync it back.
Rightroom will do that, amongst others.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of Dropbox sharing writing apps, which are really quite useful.
Okay, and then...
They sync across all devices. You can just pick up the document and carry on.
Carry on, okay. And then another service that I've just signed up to is CloudHQ. which...
What does Cloud HQ do?
Cloud HQ...
Does it sync across different cloud platforms?
It syncs across different cloud platforms. How could you guess? So, what it does, at the moment...
So you log into your different cloud spaces, so it might be SugarSync to Dropbox and vice versa?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just configure the service. It's probably going to be down now. I just configure it. So I say, okay, I've done it quite crudely, so I've done it at top level. But yeah. I say, okay, sync my Google Docs, my Dropbox, and my SugarSync. And I could do it at folder level or at account level. Wow. So I just say, okay, right, whenever I update something in Google Docs...
That's really handy, Cloud HQ, because I was worrying recently at what happens if Dropbox has a bit of a server failure. Right. Will it delete it off my computer? Because if you delete something in the cloud,
right,
it vanishes from the folder if you've got it set up to do that.
Okay, does it? I mean, I've not come across that.
But it won't. Although, interestingly, will this now sync your empty failed Dropbox across everything?
I don't know. It shouldn't do. But either way, with Dropbox, you've got a 30-day sort of rollback to previous versions. So if something's deleted, you can always roll back.
Fantastic. Stuart, thank you so much for giving me a glimpse into how you work. And I'm going to let you get back to work.
Awesome.
Good speech.